your notes.
Yeah. Eh, wait. Where? Oh my god, where are we?
Did you lose your notes?
No, like, what episode are we on?
Episode 12.
12, I put it as 11.
Oh my Whoopsie. God. Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back to a show about...
Show about nothing.
Nothing.
Revisiting.
Is it rewatching or
it's revisiting. Oh my god, we've done like 13 podcast episodes already, including the introduction.
That's true.
So this is welcome to a show about nothing.
No, this is Tara's a show house. About nothing, not welcome to a show about nothing.
Oh my god.
Never mind.
You're just trying to confuse everyone.
Yeah, it's like almost midnight, duh. I'm confused myself. But anyway.
Yes, this is the podcast where we rewatch episodes of Tara's House and we talk about them.
Yes.
Currently, we're rewatching Tara's House, Boys and Girls in the City, which is the first season on Netflix. Uh-huh. So the premise of Tara's House is basically three guys and three girls. They live in a house together and they just go about their daily lives.
Right. They're Japanese, by the way.
Oh, yes. It's set in Japan. Well, this season is set in Japan.
Mm-hmm. What else? We got six people, as you said.
All right.
Boys. Mm-hmm. They consist of... Mm-hmm.
There's... Uchi, who's Uchi. A hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And then there's Yuki, aka Tap, who's a tap dancer. Mm-hmm. And then there's Arman. He's the newest person on the show right now. He's from Hawaii. He's half Iranian, half Japanese. Mm-hmm. And he's in Japan for funsies.
Yeah. Go Arman.
Yes, go Arman. Anyway, and then there are three girls. Mm-hmm. There's Mizuki, she's an office worker / barista. Mm-hmm. And then there's Minori, she's a model / student. And then lastly, there's Yuriko, who's a medical student. She's in her third year, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so this time we're talking about episode 12, which is called Is She Just the Best of Three?
Mm-hmm. Jung Interesting Jung. Question mark. Yeah. And we start out with... Mm-hmm. Well, what did we start with? No, well, of course, there was the recap. There's always a recap. Mm-hmm. This time, for some reason, Netflix gets plugged a lot by...
100 times.
By
Yama-chan, one of the panelists. Mm-hmm.
And then we also got to see that Yuriko decided to leave... Right?
In last episode,
yes. She decided to leave.
Yes.
And so they were recapping that again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, after that, yeah, of course, a romance bloomed between Uchi and Minori, mm-hmm. thanks to Sena-san, which is another... I don't know how to properly introduce her to the whole...
I don't think we have to recap the whole thing again, because people would have listened to our last episode.
She's big in the lore.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Quick update. The only things that are exciting are new boy Arman is here. He's from Hawaii. And there's a blossoming romance between Uchi and Minori.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, Yuriko, who's a medical student, she has decided to leave, but she hasn't left yet.
Because she has some things to take care of.
So that's the basic summary of it. So if not, we're going to go like this. Our podcast episodes are always way too long.
Are they?
So that's why I'm like, we can't recap it. Like, we can't recap the last episode in this episode. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but to provide context, you know, I mean, we may have new listeners.
If you want context, please listen to our last episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're jumping into episode 12.
And
Is She Just the Best of Three?
Mm-hmm.
And the first scene, apart from the panelists, is actually... We see Arman, who's our new boy. He's in a suit. He's going down the streets of Tokyo. He's looking for a job.
Salaryman Arman. Oh, Salary Arman.
Oh my god. I hate it so much.
Oh gosh. Yeah, don't mind me, people.
Yeah, so he's actually going to a job interview in his super ill-fitting suit.
It was okay. You can see it was off the rack, obviously.
Yeah, it was definitely.
But yeah, he was. What made it weird was he was wearing a bright colored backpack on top of that. So I guess that's what like Japanese salarymen do.
No, they use briefcases.
So why is he using a backpack?
It's because he's probably just going to like a job interview for a part time job. Yeah. Because in Japan, right, when you go. When it's like job hunting season, like shukatsu season, right?
Yeah, there's an actual season.
Mm-hmm. You're actually told to like, apart from buying a suit, right? And you know, your suit has to be black. You know, you can't get any other color suit.
That's annoying.
Black or gray.
Black's so passe.
And then there's you'll start to notice all these ads for like this specific. It's like not a briefcase, but it's like a briefcase shaped bag. And it's always black or dark brown.
It's a briefcase-shaped bag.
Yes.
That's not a briefcase?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a messenger bag, but not like... It's not a shoulder bag. It's still got like... You still hold it by its handle. Uh-huh. Right. And that's the only kind of bag that's acceptable. And you gotta have black shoes.
Okay.
And so for if you usually dye your hair another color.
I thought if you usually dye.
Oh my god.
No, if you dye your hair, yes.
If you usually dye your hair another color for a job hunting process, you're expected to dye your hair black again, right?
My gosh.
Or your natural hair color. But then when you get your job, it's fine for you to have like brown hair again.
Really?
Yeah.
Or like funky
pink hair? No, not funky pink hair.
No?
Just like you're good with like light brown hair and stuff like that.
Talk about conformist you know.
It's just I find society. It so weird because you're just like you're literally just re-dyeing your hair just for a job interview.
Do you have to like keep it in a at a certain short length or
no? I mean, but for guys, yeah, you have to keep it short, like nothing beyond your ears, I guess.
Oh lord.
Yeah. Job hunting in Japan is serious, guys. That's why I never did it.
Yeah, because you got your work basically from school networking, I guess.
No, like for a real job.
Oh yeah.
This is for like I'm talking about like a real job, like in your second semester of your third year, that's when job hunting season starts in university.
All right.
Yes.
I mean, as far as I know, Arman's only looking for
looking for a part-time job, so I'm not even sure why he's in a suit, but
well,
I guess
he's overdressed, which kind of shows that, yeah, he's willing to conform.
That's true.
He's willing to fit in. Yeah. I mean, he already stands out for being a half-Japanese, half
that's true.
Foreigner, basically, yes. Right? Which still kind of carries a stigma, as we've mentioned in previous episodes, I think.
Last episode, exactly.
Just last episode, right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so where does he go? He goes
He's going to this English language school.
Right,
so
because he wants to teach English.
He's applying to become an English teacher, which is to, you know, as someone who has been an English language teacher in Japan, biggest mistake of your life.
Well, yeah.
And then, so the guy interviewing him is this, like, white guy. I think he's American. And he was, like, there was this part where he was asking, what skills that you think that you've obtained in your experience and stuff like that, like, that you think is transferable for this job? And I was, like, it's a freaking English language teaching job. It's not that hard, especially not in Japan, because mostly it's, like, by the book.
But you said that, you know, it was one of your biggest mistakes or something. I was waiting for you to, you know, go on a tangent and kind of like feed the listeners some backstory or something.
Backstory is my boss was crazy and she used to spy on us the classroom door windows to make sure that we were teaching properly. Also, I did a lot of photocopying, which was a waste of paper, but she insisted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose that's enough reason to hate your boss.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a full English scene, which was pretty rare in Terrace House.
Yeah, that's
true.
I can never get used to Arman speaking English, even though I'm guessing that's probably his first language, kind of.
Well, you know? I mean, it's the language he grew up with,
yeah,
basically,
it's
right?
It's the language he's most used to speaking up until recently, right?
Yeah, basically. But yeah, I think there were. I have a note about him actually listing out the stuff or the experiences that matter, these so-called transferable skills. And, and I do think that he has a kind of a competitive edge against, you know, if it were, you know, just a foreigner coming into Japan teaching English. Because, you know, there's a lot of people apparently who do that for a living. I mean, I watch some YouTubers who do that for a living as well. And so he said he knows the Japanese point of view and how they think. And so, you know, he would be able to kind of cater his instruction to how a Japanese would go through, you know, something in class. So that's good.
That's true. But anyway, you know what?
What was it?
I have noticed. Actually, like, Arman is, like, one of the rare mixed-race Japanese people that we see on the show in all the seasons that actually uses his dad's
name
instead of his mom's.
His full name is Arman Bitaraf.
Yeah.
And so he's half Iranian. And so who's the Iranian?
His dad.
His dad is Iranian. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, the thing is, right, in most of the Terrace House members that we meet that are mixed race...
I think this is a spoiler or a mild spoiler.
It's a mild spoiler. It's not really a spoiler.
Uh-huh.
Well, most of them, their dads are actually the foreigners, right?
Mm-hmm.
But usually they take their mom's name, especially if they've grown up in Japan, because it's just much easier to register your children with Japanese names.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's really surprising.
That's true.
That Arman has, like, taken his dad's name.
But maybe that's because he actually lives in Hawaii.
That's true.
Right?
But he was born in Japan, right?
He was born in Japan. That's true. And he was there. He grew up until... he lived in Japan until...
He was there
until 10. 10, right. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, he does definitely know, like, he has a Japanese childhood.
Yes.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. But that's actually a good question. Like, I wonder what his experience was growing up using his dad's name in Japan as a child.
Or I wonder if because I've heard actually that in Japan that you can register your children with their, like, Japanese parents' name, but then also on the passport it'll say their other surname,
right,
so that when they're abroad they use that other surname, like Bitara, for example, and maybe he used a different surname.
Do you think he has, like, double citizenship? Does Japan allow that?
I think so.
Yeah, that would be easy. Like,
but I
the
feel
easy
like it's
explanation.
Probably only for mixed race Japanese people. I'm not sure. Like, don't quote me on that.
Yeah, we should Google that.
Yes, probably.
Yeah, not now, definitely.
Not now.
But yeah, interesting point there.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was like the first scene.
Yeah.
And so we cut after that to Odaiba.
Oh, yeah.
To a very cute scene where Uchi has asked Minori out for another date.
Yes.
Right? And they go to this one place at the waterfront.
Mm hmm.
I can't tell whereabouts in Tokyo that is, but...
We actually never went to Odaiba when we went to Japan 2 years,
yeah,
2 years ago.
Yeah, I know. I'm sad.
Odaiba is where they have the Gundam statue.
The Gundam statue.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where the whereabouts of the... I think some of the game-related museums or something like that, right? Where's Ghibli? I can't remember.
I don't think it's in Odaiba.
No. Ghibli is near like a park. I can't remember.
Yeah. Odaiba is like
Yoyogi, right?
Man-made island.
Okay, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, we didn't go there because Tokyo is just so big.
Yeah.
And so it warrants definitely a
second,
third...
It is the biggest city in the world, right?
I think so, yeah. Come to think of it. Yeah,
probably
is. Yeah, we've never been there, but Odaiba is...
I have.
Well, I have not been there. so sad. But of course this is about Terrace House,
yes,
not me. So they went to Odaiba. Mm-hmm. It's pretty popular, I suppose, because of a comment in the next scene. But mm-hmm. So they ate salad and risotto donburi.
And pasta.
I didn't see the pasta.
There was pasta too.
I only saw salad and risotto donburi, which is weird. Is it a risotto or a donburi? Because a donburi is basically rice.
Yeah. A rice bowl.
A rice bowl of risotto.
Yeah, I guess so.
You just
so.
Call it risotto in a bowl.
Maybe they want it to be fusion.
Right. But anyways, so they... Ouch. I hit myself. Oh my gosh. They hit it off, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
So they're having a good time. Mm-hmm. So after dinner, they're like... Uchi's like, hey, that looks like a good thing to do. And like Tama and I were like, what are they doing?
What are they looking at? What is he pointing at? Yeah. Right?
And then he was like,
yeah, he was talking about
walking by the waterfront,
basically. Right? Because he was just pointing out in the distance, which we don't see through the camera angle that the show is showing us. What am I saying? Anyways, it's weird. And for me, that moment was kind of awkward because he was kind of like all over the place trying to distract her kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what do you think about this? Oh, it seems like it's good to walk. Hey, shall we go to the beach? That's kind of how it went. And it was like, what is this dude trying to say?
But, I mean, she agrees and they go for a walk.
Of course she agrees. It's Minori. It's like, okay, let's go.
And then after a while, they're like tired. I'm pretty sure they only walked like 5 minutes or something like that.
Just enough for the shot.
Just enough for the shot.
No script at all, they say.
Well, it's not a script. They're just like, hey, there are some seats.
Hey, there are some seats. We'll just be over here running the camera, you know? Right.
They go and sit down, right?
Yeah.
And then Uchi finally, he...
Confesses.
Right? And he talks about his feelings again because he's told her before, like, how he feels. But he's, like, trying to be more direct this time.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, I really like you. And this time he's like, hey, I want you to be my girlfriend.
Right.
And then surprisingly, and to be honest, I actually didn't really remember this part. Mm-hmm. I was, and this is probably why Minori and Uchi were on the show for such a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a spoiler, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. But yes, well, she reciprocates.
Yes.
Right. And what about it? Don't you know? What don't you remember?
No, I don't remember her saying that she didn't want to be his girlfriend yet.
Oh, you thought they just...
Yeah, I thought they got together in that scene, but turns out no.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember? Did you remember that they had this
kind of
woman?
Like fell into each other.
Yeah.
And so, if that makes sense, but...
I mean, so basically Minori says that she still wants to sort out her feelings. It's not that she doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is, you know, it's
but she understandable. But she's not sure about her feelings, and so she doesn't want to rush into being his girlfriend.
Right. She says she isn't sure because it's moving so fast, or faster than she can keep up with, or something like that. And I think the whole idea behind what she's saying is that she thinks that she's, you know, being picked out out of the three girls who Uchi dated.
Yeah.
You know, so she thinks that it's not, what's the word for it? Sincere?
Yeah.
I guess, like, okay, because, like Uchi, as we've established in our previous episodes, he's a serial dater, basically, this way, or at least on the show.
Yeah.
So he goes on dates with all of the girls, all the three girls there.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of has this ranking system or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, in his mind. And then, picks out
Minori. And he picked out Minori because he was like, oh, I clicked with Minori the most. I had the most fun with her. And then I guess they spent a lot of time together and he started to like her for real.
And he finally said it. Yeah. And that in a span of, you know, like a handful of episodes, I think.
So probably like 2 months?
Yeah.
Yeah, two months. 2-3 months probably.
He did start really early, like when they...
Yeah,
when
he
they
started in like the second episode or something like that.
Second or third episode, yeah. I can't remember anymore. But yeah, he does that, and so it would be completely normal for Minori to think that, hey, you know, like, I don't want to feel like the token winner.
Yeah, she's like, so do you like me, or do you just like me because there are only three girls here, and then you like me the most?
Yeah, because it bears, you know, it's good to remind people that the cast members or the roommates on the show, they're able to go along with their lives.
That's
and
true.
They can meet people outside of shows even and have, you know, relationships outside
of the house.
Yeah, even though I don't think I've seen anyone take anyone home in that sense. But of course, this is the first season, so we don't know that yet.
I mean, she does apologize for saying, I'm sorry for taking so long.
But I don't think she had to apologize.
No, I don't think she had to apologize either. I was like, it makes sense. Your feet, like...
Yeah. It's on Uchi to kind of like, kind of show his true feelings.
Yeah. Which is what...
Prove, basically.
The roommates talk about in the next scene, right?
Yeah, that's right. So that was the end of the date, was Uchi saying that, his feelings have grown as, you know, as time flies, as they, you know, live together in the house.
Yeah.
And so they cut to intro. Lovely piece of music again.
The best music.
The best music of Terrace House. They should just keep it, to be honest. And then after that, we cut to the living room with Aman, Minori, and Mizuki.
Yes.
And, you know, the first thing that kind of like pops out for me is that Aman seems to understand the girl. So she's like, or he's very observant, and he knows how to deal with women.
I mean, the first thing you noticed wasn't like Aman just staring into space.
No.
For like five whole seconds, he just seemed...
I thought he was listening.
Oh,
you mean like, I mean, if I'm listening, it's like, I don't have to be fixated on a spot, but I do that too sometimes.
He looked like he was blanking out, to be honest.
Okay.
But no, I do agree with Tama. Like, Aman is a really good listener, and he understands people, I think.
Yeah.
He's good at reading people.
Yeah, he gives me the impression that, you know, he grew up with like a lot of sisters, a lot of girls in the house.
Mm.
Kind of, you know, very comfortable around girls, but also...
I feel like this is like easily Googleable, like if he has sisters or not.
Yeah, I don't think they've ever established that, right?
No.
I don't
think he's talked about his family.
Yeah, they're never on his Instagram, at least, as far as I know. But... when we come back to their, when we look at their conversation, you know, Minori's like telling the two roommates that, you know, Uchi's passion isn't coming through.
So basically, what Minori's saying is that Uchi is just saying that she likes, he likes her, but he's not showing it.
Or at least he's showing it only on dates.
Yeah. Like she can't feel that he likes her
at home, because they are living with each other already, and like when I think Aman comes in and says that, hey, yeah, maybe he's the type to, you know, set up the mood,
he wants everything to be exactly right,
and so I was like thinking, damn, he's like, he's being a wingman to Uchi without even him asking, you know. It's like, okay, dude, that's great.
Yeah.
I wish more guys would be like that,
to be honest. I do agree, like, Uchi seems like the type who would, like, maybe overthink what should be, like, the right situation and the right way to say something.
Yeah.
And then, because you overthink it, like, the recipient doesn't feel like it's, like, spontaneous or, like, there's any real feeling behind it, even though there is real feeling, because you've put in so much effort into, you know, making sure it's perfect, making sure, you know, we sit in this right place next to the waterfront, you know,
in accordance with what the
filming crew wants. No. I mean, in accordance to what's most romantic, maybe, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. And yeah, you're right. And I think that's pretty much the proof that Arman is observant. He can read people because he hasn't been there for long.
He's been there for a week.
For a week, right? Yeah. And he knows that Uchi is this kind of guy. Yeah. Maybe he likes it to be perfect. Yes. And then, so like the girls have an aha moment as well. Mm-hmm. So that's good of Arman to do. Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
Arman asks Mizuki out on a date.
Yeah, surf date in Kamakura.
Okay, if they say surf date, but I'm like, it's already like September, right? Or October or something like that.
I lost track of what season.
No, because
season,
remember there was that one time, one there. Scene where they cleaned the pool. And they were
that
cleaning
summer,
it.
That was end of summer or something?
End of summer. They were cleaning it because it was the end of summer and so they wouldn't be using the pool anymore.
Right. And of course, Arman in the last episode was like, there's a pool. Oh, cool. But you can't use it.
Yeah,
right?
It's too cold.
True. So it's probably September, right?
Yeah, so I was a bit confused on why Arman was like, let's go on a surfing date.
Well, I mean, he is from Hawaii. I guess he wants to try to catch the waves. And I guess in autumn, because it's like transitory season or weather, maybe there are more waves or something like that. Maybe. And it was a good... I think beaches in Japan, they have a completely different feel from the city. So Tokyo, I don't know how far Kamakura is from Tokyo, but
don't they end up going to Shonan?
Shonan Kamakura, Shonan. Is that not in the same vicinity? I do not know, honestly.
Geography is not my best.
Yeah, maybe we should research these things.
I can.
yeah. Sorry, guys, but my point was basically that. They still got the beach vibe if they went on this date that we're going to talk about soon. But they've decided to, go surf in autumn. And have you looked up where...
Yes, so Shonan is a region along the coast of Sagami Bay in Kanagawa Prefecture.
So... not Kamakura.
The Shonan region stretches from Odawara in the west to Hayama in the east, including Hiratsuka, Chigasaki, Fujisawa, and Kamakura.
Okay, so it's in the vicinity of Kamakura. Fair enough. Next scene, we cut to the boys' room.
Yes.
Arman tells Uchi how to deal with Minori.
Yeah. You need to show it, not just say it.
Yeah, he's like giving up all the cheats basically for Uchi. He's like, dude, do this. She's expecting that.
Yeah. Uchi is literally having an epiphany and he's like, wow, this American boy gives good advice.
He says at one point, like, Arman, you're the one thing that's been missing for me. Thank you. It's like, what? Excuse you. Yeah, you gotta pay him, pay it forward, man.
Oh my god.
And so that's funny. Yeah, she says arigato, Arman. It's like, well, so weird. And then they discuss how Arman seems to be like the type who just goes for it. He's very straightforward, and you can see that in him, definitely. So he's very sure of himself, confident about himself, and doesn't wait for a romantic moment to appear or set up such a vibe to tell someone his feelings, right? And that was basically the scene. And after that, we cut to the commentators. And I did not understand a lot of what they were saying this time around because they, at one point, I just noted down national isolation of love.
What?
I don't know what that was supposed to mean. And then Perry of Love. Who is Perry?
I don't know.
It's like, oh my god, these are so many in-jokes. I think in Japan, they have this whole variety show culture. And so people have, their references, I guess. It's so weird. Like, Tokyo as an official city of love. That was like a running joke, obviously. And we get to find out that one of the commentators, Tokui? Yeah, Tokui. He actually went to that same spot where Uchi and Minori went on a date.
Yeah.
And so he called it like the official place of love.
In Tokyo.
In Tokyo. So that was cute. And yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Do you have any notes for that?
No, none for the commentators.
Okay, then we'll just go straight to the next scene, which is Aman going to the local gym.
I feel like this was such an unnecessary scene.
It was also a long scene because they showed him, like, you know, kickboxing.
Yes.
Practice.
Yes. So he goes to this gym.
Kickboxing. Yeah.
Training.
Yes, training. Yeah.
And he goes to the gym, this gym, and then we meet two former Terrace House members from the original Fuji TV series. Terrace House Boys and Girls Next Door.
Right.
These are Daiki and Ippei.
Right.
Neither Tama nor I have ever watched it yet.
Yeah.
We will one day watch it after we've finished rewatching all of Terrace House Boys and Girls.
Otherwise it'll be too confusing, and I'm prone to, like, you know, mixing all the
storylines
together. It's just too much. That's why, like, just having Sena around in this episode, in this season, after watching the new season of Terrace House that's currently airing, it's just too confusing. So I'm glad that we're doing it from the beginning, and we're just sticking to two things very far apart.
So Daiki and Ippei,
yeah,
I think they're both personal trainers.
But
in this context,
Ippei is like also a comedian, right?
Yeah, so Ippei works part time at the gym, and also he's a part time comedian too.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the first guy, what's his name again?
Daiki. Yeah.
That he was actually on Terrace House as well. Yeah, I thought it was only Ippei.
No, they were both on Terrace House.
Yeah, he didn't let on. That's for sure. Yeah. Only Ippei did.
No, but then what's his name? Actually, in the scene, Armin mentioned... Oh, no, Ippei says, yeah, I was in Tara's house. And Armin was like, oh, what, really? And then Ippei was like, what, you didn't know?
Like, and then, you didn't know?
But then Armin was like, yeah, but I knew that Daiki was in Tara's house.
Oh.
And then Ippei was like, what, you knew that Daiki was in Tara's house, but not me?
Okay. That was I think I missed that. That was just like, where were the subtitles? Yeah, so that was funny.
Yeah. I think the only significant thing in this scene was that Daiki asked Arman whether he was interested in participating in an amateur kickboxing match.
Competition.
Yeah, match. Yeah. What's the difference between a match and a competition?
Yeah, competition is like the whole games. A match is just one match.
Okay.
I'm not sure if he does a whole competition or just the one match.
I don't know. I don't even remember if he does this so-called upcoming competition.
He does. I do remember
that. You remember
that
competition?
I do remember that. I think all the roommates went out to see him.
My memory literally... Like, it's like my brain literally wiped out any memory of this match.
Okay. Well, that's why we're revisiting Terrace House, right?
So this match is going to come up in December 13th.
Yeah. That's what he said. And so he's going to compete.
Yes.
Yay. So after that, we cut to the kitchen. Arman washing the dishes. Like, oh, great. We have a responsible one now.
Like, and then the scene only has Minori and Arman. And then Minori comes in. And she's like, oh, you're doing the dishes. Whose dishes are these? And Arman's like, I have no idea.
There's just so many. And then so the camera just pans over the whole, like, the whole bench or whatever. And so, there was a lot. And it was so messy.
I mean, to be fair, I was also guilty of this when I was living with roommates in Japan.
Who wasn't?
That's true. You'd like, you just like leave your dishes in the sink, like with water inside. You'd be like, yeah, I'm soaking it first. So it's easy to clean.
Oh my god!
Doesn't everyone say that though?
Well, yeah, I guess in some form or another. But that's usually definitely like the first... let's say argument you might have with a roommate if you had a kitchen, you know, if you shared a kitchen, then that would come up definitely.
Yeah.
Like if you were new to each other kind of thing. So yeah, we get this moment where they're sharing chores.
Yeah, they share chores and they just update each other on their life. It's not really that interesting of a conversation.
No, it's
so
not eventful.
I don't actually know why the producers like included it.
But that's kind of the charm of Terrace House, you know? It's like it is a slice of life. Mm-hmm. And so they're just we're listening in on other people's conversations.
That's true.
And it is what it is.
If I was in Terrace House, I would be the most boring person. I'd just be like on YouTube all the time. And then, and then my roommates would be like, hey, what are you doing, Aoife?
I'm looking at my most recent episode.
I'm just watching YouTube. And they'd be like, okay.
Nah, totally not. You are totally
Thanks for the support, Tama, a.k.a. my husband.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even finished, you know, supporting you.
Okay.
Anyways, yes, you are lively. Don't worry about it.
Thank you. One day, I will be on Terrace House, maybe.
Terrace House, Indonesia?
Ooh. Oh, my God. That would never happen. It's not halal.
I mean, it could be on Bali, and it would be okay to be not halal.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it's not technically people living with each other. Because the only thing I think Indonesians are worried about when, you know, they let people, you know, cohabitate, mm-hmm. is that they cohabitate without supervision, you know?
Oh, so you mean there's going to be like a supervisor in the house? Like
a landlord, yeah.
A landlord. Just living in the house with them.
Yeah, that would be fun if it would, you know, if they want to pick this up, maybe Netflix is listening on
Terrace House Bali,
yeah, and they'd have like the commentators
surfing into the future or something like that. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and you know, the landlord maybe can be like one of the commentators, and she like goes back to the commentator panel thing to update the people on what's happening and like point out stuff from the videos. Oh, that would be cool. Totally. Right.
One day.
Anyway, back to Terrace House. We cut to the date.
Yeah, Mizuki and Amande.
Yeah, it's fun. It's totally fun. And as I said before, the coast, the beach looks nice even in September.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they did not...
They did not go surfing, guys.
No, they did not even
Mizuki
like...
Mizuki was in a literal sweater.
Yeah. I mean, they went shopping for sweaters. So, no, they weren't dressed for the occasion. No. That's definitely, mm-hmm. You know, I guess they just looked at the weather and, you know, it's getting chilly or whatever. Yeah. Right, so... They go through this like old Japanese temple, mm-hmm. kind of bit where they and as you said, I think you mentioned that they do this in every season.
Yeah.
Like the prayer.
Yeah, so in Japanese temple usually there's a place where you burn incense, like mm-hmm. in coal, and then you're supposed to like put your head in the smoke because it'll make you smarter.
Oh, it'll make you smarter.
Yeah, I taught you this when we went.
Well, that then it didn't work. I don't feel smarter or remember what it was about.
So yeah, so you're supposed to like go close to this like bowl of like,
you know, and catch a whiff
and
of
like put your head into whiff, the smoke,
but yeah just, you know, coat yourself
is, yeah, the smoke is supposed to touch your head,
right?
So you become smart.
Yeah, that's just weird. But that wasn't even the weirdest in the scene,
because
after that they were wetting money. That is so weird to me. It's like, so they have like this small, was it a stream or just a, I don't know, it was just a small,
so when like in Japanese temples they always river. Have like those small streams, like no, like those streams with the bamboo.
Oh yeah,
bamboo, what is it, it's a slide, not a slide.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bamboo what it's water pipe thing.
You know it, people. Yeah. It's always
in
any...
I mean, the water is really clean because you're supposed to drink from it too. Uh-huh. But there was a scene where Mizuki and Aman were cleaning like notes, like money.
Like what kind of notes were they like?
It was either 1,000 or 10,000.
That's crazy.
I'm hoping it's 1,000.
1,000 yen is equal to...
It's like 110,000 rupiah, maybe?
Which is about $10.
Yeah, probably around $10.
Yeah, and so it's either the 1,000 yen or the 10,000 yen, yeah, which would be $100.
Yes.
And they wet it.
Yeah.
To do what?
I don't. It's supposed to like bring you like good luck and like what's the word? Not prosperity. You know, when you become richer or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it prosperity? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's supposed to bring you prosperity.
Be rich.
To be honest, I've never actually heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? This tradition.
Yeah.
I only know the smoke one, so I'm not an expert, and I was also shocked when they were cleaning the money.
It's like, wow, what are you cleaning it from? Yeah, okay, maybe from other people's fingerprints sins. Or whatever, or sins, but really, doesn't water ruin money? Can you still use it afterwards?
Oh, but I thought, like, I read somewhere that, like, Canadian money is waterproof.
Yeah, there are some currencies out there that, mm-hmm. that use waterproof materials. I think, yes, of course, Canadian dollars, I don't have any at the moment, but yeah, they're usually out of plastic nowadays or some sort of fiber,
mm-hmm.
plastic fiber, so yeah, they should be waterproof, but still, you know, does it not like diminish the value of the money itself if it's wet? I mean, I wouldn't want to be handed a soggy 10,000 yen, even though it was a 10,000 yen, I think.
That's true.
I think. I would still.
I would still take a 10,000 yen. I would probably just like, hey, yeah. Where's the hand dryer? Where's the hair dryer? I'll take it.
Sure. Obviously. And so after that, they buy ramune.
Yes.
Ramune. Please enlighten the listeners.
Ramune is just basically a traditional Japanese soda.
Traditional Japanese soda in a bottle.
In a bottle.
With this like super mm-hmm. complex mechanism to... So it doesn't have a bottle cap as bottles do usually. They use a marble. As basically a stopgap.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, but it does really make me want to play with the marble. and when it pops, it's like so satisfying.
Mm.
And then you drink it and it's great.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's like a classic summer drink, right?
Yeah, it's a classic summer drink.
Mm-hmm. So ramune is great. What else is there? Oh, I noted down that it felt to me like, even though, you know, they were very agreeable with each other, mm-hmm. Aman and Mizuki were kind of stiff. I don't know if you caught that, but it felt to me like Aman was, you know, he was chill. He's mm-hmm. he's like the new boy, right?
Yeah.
So he's like trying to be at ease.
Yeah.
But Mizuki is like at a loss for words, or is just kind of nervous or something like
that. I think she's kind of nervous.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's like agreeing with him on everything and like pointing out things and saying beautiful to them. So it's cute, but yeah, a little stiff, I think.
Yes, agreed.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything there?
Else? Not really. I mean, I think even though it was really a little stiff, the vibe was really good.
Yeah.
So if I think. Just based on this one date, I would be like, wow, there is so much potential for both of them.
Yeah, yes, right? Definitely. Like, they're not conflicting.
Yeah, and they're at ease with each other, yeah. You know.
And so, yeah, they try to keep it, you know, kind of light and breezy.
Yes, agreed.
But after that, there's the scene where they eat.
Mm-hmm.
At a cafe, I think they eat like Western food for once.
Yeah.
And they share dishes, and it was weird for me to see Japanese people like share dishes, but is that maybe like an American thing?
To share dishes or not to share dishes?
To share dishes in the sense that, oh, here, have a bite of my sandwich. Oh, let me have a spoon of your, what was it, soup?
I think with the sandwich one, the sandwich that Arman was eating and he offered to Mizuki,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't that surprised by it, because it's kind of hard to, like, you know, just, like, break off your sandwich and then give it to someone else. But the soup one, I was surprised because he was just reaching... took her spoon, right? He just took her spoon and he dipped it into the soup and ate it, which is, I don't.
Yeah, we weren't brought up that way, definitely, right?
I mean, I do it, like me personally, but I know that a lot of people around me don't really like it when people take their cutlery and eat.
Yeah, double dip, basically, right? Yeah, double dip,
basically.
Yeah. It's not really, I mean, it's no problem here, mm-hmm. and you know, as long as everyone's agreeing, consenting to it, I suppose, that's all right. So they share the dishes. That was a short mini scene, and then they go to the I do not know what I'm saying. Sorry, I meant they visit a surf shop, a tire shop. Yeah, it's just a shop with surf clothes. But they end up buying sweaters, which is weird.
Yeah.
So I don't get what it is. It's just a boutique by the beach, I suppose. And so they share this moment where Arman wants to try out some clothes on. He wants, you know, some gray jumpers. And so Mizuki also kind of... chooses some for him to try, and so they do that whole thing.
Yes.
Hey, look, come out of the dressing room and let's see how it goes, blah blah blah. And at one point I think Arman says, he mentions that, oh, your choices are too kawaii.
Yeah.
And well, they're just jumpers, to be honest.
But, yeah, that's true.
They look good on him anyway, because mm-hmm.
He's in good shape.
He's
a very good-looking person, so it would be hard.
He's a god.
Wow, Tom, what are you saying?
Nothing. Anyway, that was it. So they share a light moment. Also, very, you know, that's cute, basically, yeah. Right? Super. It just adds on to that whole. This is a good, good-natured vibe mm-hmm. kind of date.
Yes.
And then they went
to the shore.
On a stroll on the beach. Mm-hmm. For a stroll on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And did she also buy a beanie to kind of like.
Did she match? Buy a beanie? I don't know. Because
I don't think she came in with a beanie.
Maybe she had the beanie in her bag.
Or maybe I miss. I don't know.
I don't think she bought a beanie. Or if she did, it wasn't filmed.
Yeah. Because, yeah. You know, he bought. Some jumper, some, you know, some winter jumpers, and then I guess she bought the beanie.
Yeah, probably.
Because he was wearing a beanie.
Yes, that's true.
So there's a bit of mimicry there.
Mm-hmm.
So she's into him, obviously.
Definitely.
And then they take a selfie with an SLR camera.
Oh my god!
Which is just so 2000s.
It's so 2000s, but like. When I think about it, I'm like, this is 2015. You already had iPhones. Why are they taking a selfie with this huge-ass SLR camera?
Well, I'm guessing Arman wanted to show off his photography skills because 2015's, yeah, circa early to mid-2010s
mm-hmm.
is, you know, I think that time where when people, like, not just people, but everyone started having, like, SLRs. Yes, just like for amateur photography,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know why they took selfies on the, because like people also already have smartphones to begin with. Of course, yeah, it's only been like the past 3 years or so that we had great smartphone cameras. Mm-hmm. That's true. But, you know, it's like the thing with taking pictures on SLRs, you know, you really don't see it. In the end, you know, you don't share them because they're on an SLR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? So you're not going to post it on social media because...
Yeah, it'll take too long. It's a process,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a long process. It's too much. And, yeah. Do you have any thoughts about the selfie apart from that?
I'm just confused.
Yeah. Well, at the end of that, Arman finally tells Mizuki that he wants to compete.
Yes.
He wants to, you know, do that kick. boxing thing, and
yeah,
he wants her to watch him, right? Yes. And so that's kind of a cute,
that's cute
moment as well. Oh, also, what? We failed to mention, on the way to the date place, Arman was like driving her there, right, using one of the cars, and they were already planning their next date.
Oh, that's true. They right? were. They hadn't even started their first date.
And they were already planning their next date. So Armando was like leaning into it.
Yes.
And she was gobbling it all up, basically. And so, yeah, why not? These two seem like they're good for each other. And that was it. That was the scene.
Yep.
It was very pleasant.
It was a good date.
It had no downs.
There were no bad parts.
Boring perhaps for some people, because it's just
a good date.
It's just a good date.
Yeah.
It's not like an exciting date. It's just a good date. Great weather, great scenery, good company. Food's all right. There's a bit of back and forth, that moment they shared in the shop and on the beach, the selfies. Yeah, it's pretty much a perfect date, right?
Agreed.
It was all agreeable. So after that, we cut to the commentators, and even they say that they're basically perfect for each other. Yes. They were swooning over the pair, and they were like, so congratulating them. Yay! You know? But I have to say that Yama-chan tells it straight.
Yeah.
Like, she is too cutesy sometimes, and he does make a point about like them when they were like walking on the beach in the water. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, look, ocean, kawaii. He was like, what? The water's so clear, kawaii, or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's cute, and I guess girls do that. Other girls.
I mean,
I don't think you'd do that.
I don't know if it's a girl thing, but I think
it's small talk.
Yeah, right. I think in like, especially in Japan, at least when I was there, and also it happens a lot in Terrace House. It's not just like just Mizuki, but there are a lot of times when they go somewhere, they see something, and they say the name of that something. You know,
yeah, that's
like
true.
When you see the ocean and you say ocean.
Yeah, it's like they're pointing out. So it's kind of funny because it's like they're only learning to say these things. But in hindsight, I think it's just another, you know, a way of people talking about the weather.
Yeah,
or something,
it's
right?
just like it's just a way to point out that there is the ocean. You know?
So do you think they said it for the conversation or for the camera?
I think for the conversation, to be honest.
Hmm.
It's like if you go, I mean, the ocean thing is not really a good example, but if we go back to the first date, like Uchi and Minori's first date, for example, and they go see cows, I would probably react the same and say, wow, cows, you know.
Wow, cows.
Wow, cows.
True.
Right?
True. Yeah. I think, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like, ooh, it's not like you see cows. Like, ooh, I'd like to milk that one. No. But, yeah, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's understandable, obviously. And what else do they say? The panelists, they say, oh yeah, Tokue at one point says that Aman has this like cool but shy vibe going. And then there was like another shameless plug from Yama-chan talking about Netflix, how Netflix is international and they're doing, you know, all this stuff that we're getting on this show is like thanks to Netflix's international audience or, you know, influence, whatever. So yeah, shout out to Netflix, it's a great show. But I'll only be truly happy, I suppose, if they do run with Terrace House Indonesia.
Yeah,
right, totally be there.
If there is ever Terrace House Indonesia, one of us should get on.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, can we like take turns perhaps? Like,
swap? If, like, for example,
yeah.
For example, if I enter first, And then maybe like after like 3 months I leave, and then we tag team and you enter.
Yeah, no, I mean, maybe we can tag team on a daily basis. It's like, hey.
No, I don't think that's tag possible. Tag team.
And then, okay, I'm going to sleep here tonight. And then you be like
in Bali. I'm going to get kicked out of Tara's house if that happens.
Yeah, somebody's got to work. Or, you know, right? Anyways, so that panelist bit was over. Mm-hmm. We cut to the last scene, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's Mizuki back at the house, mm-hmm. prepping Yuriko for yes. her date.
Yes.
So, as we said before in the last episode, she wanted to meet with her ex.
Yes.
And confess, mm-hmm. you know, tell him about her feelings, I'll try to get back together, I suppose. Yes. But, you know, in any case, mm-hmm. even if she gets rejected or whatever, mm-hmm. she's gonna leave anyway.
Yeah.
And so she really does, like, go the whole nine yards, basically, mm-hmm. in her makeup, asking Mizuki to do her hair. Yes. I think, you know, braids and all that. It was very intricate, definitely. And very Japanese for some reason. It's like, looking at her, she has, like, a pony. For I don't know
if you call tail?
A ponytail.
What are you talking about?
Did she have a ponytail or some sort of,
she
like
had
braids?
Yeah, right? She had plaits.
And her bangs mm-hmm. were like two separate bangs.
Oh, like the one, like the French bangs that are separate.
The French bangs, but one was like overly long, so it was kind of like, you know, almost like a, what do you call this again?
Sideburn?
Yeah. I have a full beard and I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, yeah, it kind of felt like her bangs were like, whoa, it's very Japanese idol kind of thing.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay. I know what her hair looks like.
Like, there's this image in my head of you know, Japanese girls in variety shows mm-hmm. or at least depicted in, you know, like school uniforms. Mm-hmm. Where they have the certain hairdo, mm-hmm. I guess, where they have like the parted bangs, mm-hmm. but they're like separate from the rest of the hair.
I have no idea. Is this what guys think girls' hairstyles look like?
Well, I mean, well, maybe it's just me. Honestly, I can't speak for the other guys out there, but it's totally like, yeah, it's. I mean, what happens if you? I sweat a lot.
Yeah.
And having those kind of hairstyles mm-hmm. for me, I would definitely like ruin them within the next minute of getting finished.
Oh my god, that's why she's being cute in September, not in August.
True.
It's not that hot anymore.
In September either. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, she has this very Japanese look going mm-hmm. for her, I think. Mm-hmm. And then they meet in a cafe
on a
rainy September day.
It's really raining.
It's like, oh damn, they set up the scene so well with this. I wonder if they waited for a rain.
For
to,
rain?
until they, oh they started, you know, like, the forecast says, you know, it's raining on the weekend. Maybe we should put filming off until the weekend kind of thing. And so she goes. Mm-hmm. She gets there first. Mm-hmm. She's eagerly awaiting him.
She looks hella nervous.
And he comes with, like, his umbrella. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole swagger of people getting out of the rain kind of mm-hmm. thing. It's so, hey, yeah, it's like, it looks scripted as hell to me, to be honest. It's like something out of a Japan dorama or a Korean drama for that matter. And so he sits down and, like, when he's like fumbling mm-hmm. With, you know, his umbrella and his coat.
Yes.
We pan to her face, and she was like, you can see, wow, she was so googly-eyed about him. It was she was in anticipation.
That's true.
It was like, wow, she really does look up to him and likes him really much. So they sit down, mm-hmm. he asks her about studying. The first thing he asks, of course,
this guy is obsessed with studying.
Hey, they're medical students. I think I have my peace by now. That, you know, medical students are just a whole different kind of superhuman.
I guess.
Yeah. And yeah, that was, it was all good. You know, it was a slow kind of conversation, and she tells him about leaving Tara's house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed because she had a very good reason.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
So what was it?
So basically she says that so she's decided to leave Tara's house because she will start her internship soon.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't think it would be professional to, you know, start her internship and start treating patients while also being on this reality TV show.
Yeah, so adulting.
I was like, wow, that is legit reason.
That's a legit reason. That's of course, go ahead. It's totally not permissible for you to be in some sort of medical, profession and still be on a reality TV show on the side.
I mean, you wouldn't even have time to do anything else anyway, right?
Exactly. You'd be there on call, right?
Yeah, on call, 24-hour shifts, you know?
Yeah, so it wouldn't be entertaining for the viewers anyway, right?
So
that's great.
That's a good choice, I think.
Yeah.
And then she says, but before she leaves, she wants to tell him that, you know, once again, she says that she can't stop thinking about him.
Mm-hmm.
And she did say that she wants to get back together with him. Mm-hmm. And then she's waiting for his answer.
And then
he, you know, the camera just pans to his face.
For like 15 seconds.
And then the episode ends.
Cliffhanger. Oh, my God. That was the worst. Although I liked how they were able to kind of shoot his
expression.
He was like going through a lot of emotions, trying to figure out his thoughts in his head, and you can see that. But then they ended with a cliffhanger.
Which is the worst.
With jajang.
Jajang.
Sometimes that sound is like trigger material for me.
That was a good episode. A lot of things happened. And it's like not like mean drama, you know what I mean? Like no one is like talking shit about each other.
Yeah, it was pleasant.
Yes. A lot of things happen, but it's a lot of good things.
Yeah, it's like really, I may be biased because Arman is one of my favorite characters on this show.
Yes.
But it seems to me that ever since Mako-chan left, it just suddenly got so pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything was nice.
I can see that.
And so it's great. It's like Arman's chill. Everyone's kind of like comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't see Uchi much.
No, we don't see Tap much.
Tap is like completely out.
Yeah.
He's like nowhere to be seen. He's MIA basically. Yes. So I don't know why. I guess
maybe he's busy with work, and maybe his like storylines there was nothing interesting.
Yeah, like what are you doing today? I'm tap dancing. Ta-da! We've already showed that already on, and then yeah, oh it gets God. Repetitive, yeah. I suppose.
I mean, me personally, I was never a big fan of Arman. Not that I didn't like him. More that I was lukewarm with him the first time I watched Terrace House Boys and Girls in the City.
Uh-huh.
And then I remember that everyone who watches Terrace House loves Arman.
Yeah.
And I never really got it until I started rewatching these like past two episodes, right?
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, I kind of see now that Arman's a good guy, and he's very observant, and you know, he gives good advice.
Yeah, he's and it helps that he's good looking.
That's true.
You know, keeps fit.
I think Tom is gonna leave me for Arman. I know Arman is single now, because of his Instagram. But you know.
Yeah. Well. I don't know. No, of course not. I'll never leave.
Thanks. Anyway, yeah. I guess that's a good place to end this episode.
Yeah.
If you guys have any suggestions, comments, criticisms, you want to send Arman's personal email and number to Tama.
Maybe some of you know him, maybe. Who knows?
You can always email us at nothingshow.th@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or you can tweet us at nothingshow.th
in capitals.
In capitals.
So the TH only in capitals. Yes. And yeah, we will try to read all of the comments that we get.
Yes. On air. So
on air in the next episode.
Yes. So please do send us anything, you know,
mm-hmm.
even if it's just a Photoshop picture of Tama and Arman together.
I would so love that. That would be a great yes. place to start my shared account with Arman.
Okay, so I guess that's all from us.
Yeah.
Talk to you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.